everyone. Welcome to the new episode of the Career Tips Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Sarah. Sarah is from Nigeria, where she was part of the Microsoft LEAP program. There was a pilot program. She was part of the first cohort, and that's how we got to know each other. And she has a few fascinating stories for all the hustlers out there. I hope it will inspire you, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So, Sarah, can you please say hi and tell us a little bit of yourself in your own words?
Thank you, Ayuna, for having me. Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah. I'm a technical support engineer. I work with TechExpert. I'm a volunteer where I teach children how to code. I'm a graduate of electrical engineering. I'm from Nigeria. That's basically what Sarah is about.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we'll start the interview with the three rapid fire questions, which are extremely random, but that's a signature part of my podcast. So first is describe yourself in three words.
Amazing, pretty, and courageous.
Awesome. I love it. I love how positive affirmations that you give yourself. That's amazing. Really admire that about you. What is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I think, is to take my phone. It is a bad practice, right? Well, that's the first thing I do. I check my phone for any message. That's the first thing I do in the morning. Before getting up from bed and brushing my teeth before talking to anyone.
same. What did you eat for breakfast?
Oh, I ate golden moon. Do you know what it is? I ate golden moon. It's a cereal.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So golden moon is it's a cereal. It's kind of cereal, just like cornflakes and legs. So that's what I ate this morning.
Okay, I'd love to try. All right, so thank you for participating in my random rapid fire questions. First of all, I know it's on top of the mind for a lot of people. So can you describe a little bit the situation with the COVID-19 in Nigeria and how is it affecting your life and in general, like life of the people in your country?
Oh, COVID-19. It's been terrible for everybody. For the country, especially, the price of naira is falling down, and it's making things to be crazily expensive. And also, people have lost their jobs to COVID-19. Many people were unable to get back to their jobs because so many companies laid off their staffs because of no money. So it's been pretty bad for much everybody. I'm grateful I still have my job anyway. I still have my job, and it's really been tough out here, especially in Nigeria.
I'm sorry that it's affecting a lot of people. I know the loss of jobs is extremely hard. So is your company focused on the Nigerian customers, or is it global customer base?
Our company is based on worldwide, so it's not just Nigeria alone. We support Microsoft customers around the world, so it's not focused on Nigeria alone.
Tell me about your journey into tech and where did it all start?
Okay. So my journey into tech started 2018 when I saw an opportunity to teach children how to code. Site of Twitter anyway, and I took the opportunity. I applied for the position to teach children how to code, and they trained us first. So we were asked to teach children how to code, but we were taught the basics of coding and all. So teaching the children and seeing what the children could do with as little as Scratch, seeing what they could build to join their faces, make me know that, okay, I can do something better. And I decided to learn how to code on my own. And that was how I got into tech.
And what were you doing before that volunteering opportunity where you were focused on professionally at that time?
At that time, I was between I was 7. NYSC, National Youth Service Corps, is a program in Nigeria where you have to serve your country for 1 year. It's mandatory after graduation. So I was not really doing much at the time because I was not really needed in the office. I was quite bored and I decided to do something with my time. And I saw the opportunity and I decided to grab the opportunity. I had to continue because I had no job at the time. So it was only the volunteering job that kept me going.
What did excite you about the opportunity when you first learned about it?
I've been hearing about people who code and all, and I don't have any idea what it is. So the fact that they were going to teach us for free, and all we have to do is to teach the children back, that was what got me excited. And the opportunity to also mingle with children, I love children a lot. So I also, like, it's a win-win for me anyway. I get to learn and I get to do what I like doing again. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me more about this volunteering program in general? I know it's like very specific to Nigeria.
It's called TechQuest. It's called Teach a Kid to Code. So what we do basically at TechQuest is we teach children how to code using Scratch. So we go to school to school. We go to different schools to teach children how to code. And it's a very, very nice thing to do because you see the gaps which different children have. You see children going to students going to private schools have a little bit understanding of what tech is all about, and you go to some public schools and they have no idea how to even operate the computer. So you start teaching them how to operate the computer at first before you even start teaching them how to code with the computer. So the tech quest is just to bring more children into the tech world and also let them know that they have the opportunity in which many could not have to get into tech. And here in Nigeria, we believe your child must study either law or medicine or engineering. So that's what most parents knows, and that's what most parents try to enforce their children to study. But right now things are changing and we are trying to make sure that other children also see tech as a career path for them.
And what kind of schools, like, did you teach around the country, all over the country, or in schools?
I taught in two different states. I was in Abuja when I was 7, so I taught children from that area, from Abuja, and also in Anambra State. I'm from Anambra State, so it was like giving back to my own community. So yes, that was during the festive period. TechQuest did kind of gather children around in the state, and I taught them for Anambra State. But for Abuja State, I was going school to school with my partner. We were going school to school to teach children. And also TechQuest is in more than 7 states in Nigeria, so we have volunteers across all parts of the country trying to teach children how to code. So wherever you find yourself, wherever you are, you try to give back to the community where you are by teaching those children how to code and bringing them into the tech world.
Mm-hmm. And how did the kids like the classes and coding? Like, what was their feedback?
They were very excited. I mean, they got to learn how to build their own games from Scratch, using the Scratch app. They built the animations in the Scratch app, so they were very excited about it. And I really liked the look on their faces whenever they are done. And they keep on shouting, "Auntie, auntie, auntie." That's what they call us. Instead of Miss Sarah, they say, "Auntie, auntie, auntie." So that's what it is here in Nigeria. So really, the children were really happy about it. It also gives me joy seeing children being able to do stuff like that, to create amazing stuff. They go beyond what you as a teacher even imagine, because you know, children's creative minds, they try to think outside the box. Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Awesome. And what did you like about coding when you first started learning it and learning about it?
Oh, okay. What I like about coding is the sense of control, right? Like, you're creating something and the thing is working for you. So it's like, I don't know how to put it. So when I created my first, I think it was a calculator, yes, and I saw it working, I felt so glad. So the sense of being able to create things and the thing is working for you, it's what really made me love coding. And also, it's so amazing when you're coding and you have this whole setback for 2 days, I will be wondering what's wrong with my code. I did the exact same thing the tutor did on YouTube. I did the exact same thing the Udemy teacher did, and I'm not getting the same results. So it's mind-blowing when you sit down and you start going through the line of code and you see it's one semicolon that is giving you the issue. So when I started learning how to code, that was what kept me going. The fact that there is lots to learn and the fact that you're able to create something that obeys you. You give the computer something and the computer gives you what you want. So yeah, that was what made me venture into coding and also like coding.
Awesome. Yeah, I know the feeling. I call it a happy dance that you do around your
desk. Oh, you call it a happy dance when you write your code and talk,
finally
right?
Finally get it to compile. Yeah. So how did you start learning to code and how did you teach yourself to code?
Okay, so after the whole during the whole volunteer period, and as I told you earlier, and I saw what the kids were doing, I decided to try something more advanced. I decided to take up C sharp because I had a friend who writes C sharp's name is Vincent. So he's the only tech guy I knew at that time. So I told him, whatever it is you are doing, I want to learn it. And he told me he writes C sharp. And I said I should go and make my research on what language I would like to learn. Of course, I said, no, I want C sharp because you're writing C sharp. So I decided to learn. It just gave me a few things I should know, the basics. And decided to go through YouTube, go through some Udemy free courses and some that I could pay for. I decided to learn how to code on my own using all these free resources I see online. Pluralsight also is one of it, the free month trials of that period. When you have a Microsoft account, Microsoft give you, I think, 3 months free Pluralsight trial as of that period, not now. So those were the things that helped me learn how to code. And that was how I started my coding journey, using free resources I see online.
That's amazing. You're very hardworking and very self-driven and motivated. What advice do you have for those who are just starting or just maybe wanting to learn to code or curious about it?
Well, for those who want to learn how to code, I would first like to tell them that it's a marathon, not a sprint. I would like to let them know that you learn how to code by coding, actually. Sometimes you may be engrossed watching a tutorial for so long. You don't code. You just watch a tutorial and you think you can magically do what the person is doing. But I would advise that you just go to your computer and start coding. You learn how to code by coding. And also, you should also have a goal in mind. What I had in my mind was I need to get a job in tech. And if I don't get a job in tech, I'm not going to stop what it is I'm doing. So if you have a goal in your mind, if it is to build probably a website of your own choice, probably for your business. I've seen people who learned how to code because they wanted to build their own website for their business. If it is for a job, if it's for a career. So you should just set something for yourself, set a path for yourself, set a goal for yourself and say, okay, I want to reach this level. That's why I'm learning how to code and you're going to get there. And also, as I said earlier, you need to code to learn how to code. Don't just sit down watching the tutorials for long. You need to sit down and start coding also. And also, you should know that also mistake is inevitable. Sometimes you can go on days, wondering why your code is not working. And you may end up seeing the semicolon or something. Don't just give up. If you just set your mind to it, just make sure you do it.
Awesome. That's golden advice. Thank you for sharing. So I know you had to overcome some of the obstacles on your journey of learning to code. Tell me about that Twitter story and the laptop.
Oh, okay. So at the time when I was learning how to code, my laptop got bad. I was still using a Windows 7. The laptop was since 2012. The year was 2019. That was last year. And I was still using the same laptop. Everything was already bad on the laptop and it could not take it any longer. So the laptop crashed and I reached out on Twitter. I told my friend who brought me into the coding world, the guy I talked about earlier who taught me about C sharp. I put out a tweet on Twitter and said, I'm the laptop, I've been learning how to code for the past 3 months. I've been able to do this and do that. And people started retweeting and it was amazing. And I'm still amazed at the fact that the old tech community decided to contribute money for me to get a laptop to learn how to code. It's mind-blowing, actually. It's mind-blowing. And the tech community in Twitter, especially. I don't know about other social media apps, but the one I'm using, Twitter, it's amazing. When I put out the tweets, I started seeing lots of retweets. I started receiving donations. Some people donated $50, some people donated $100, some people donated about 50,000 naira, some people donated about 100,000 naira, and I was able to get the good laptop. Hey, shout out to Answerman also. I don't know if you know him, Answer Talker, Scott. So he kind of retweeted my tweet also and kind of blew. So many people tried their best to donate to me for me to get a laptop. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And I know when we talked last time, you said that you're very lucky, which is true.
Yes.
But I think it's not just luck. I think
yes.
You're a hustler. And it would have not happened if you didn't hustle. You know, there was like part of like kindness of people, but also it's your work that you put in. And I think you need to acknowledge that, that it's not just luck. Like you're a hustler, like you hustled to get here. And I think you probably know, but like you should pat yourself on the back for that too. You know, not just attribute it to luck. Like it's your hard work as well. Okay, let's talk about the Microsoft LEAP program and tell me, how did you hear about it?
Oh, okay. I heard about Microsoft LEAP through Twitter. Again, through Twitter. So I was looking for jobs, internship positions. I mean, I've been learning coding for 3 months. The next thing is to look for where to intern, right? So there are two Andrews I know on Twitter. They always post job ads, job opportunities for Nigerians. I think any Nigerian listening to this should follow them also. If you need a job, please follow Answerman and CV Writer Defunke. So these guys, they post lots of job ads on their Twitter page. So what I do every morning is when I wake up and I go to Twitter, the first thing I do is I go to their pages and start looking for job ads that fits my description, and I start applying. So that's why I got to know about Microsoft LEAP. I saw it in one of their pages and decided to apply for it and give it a go.
That's great. That's a great advice and like very practical steps that you gave for people to try out. What was the application and interview process like for the Microsoft LEAP program in Nigeria?
Okay. You know, as I told you earlier, we started from an hackathon. So the application was different from the hackathon and from the Microsoft LEAP itself. For the hackathon, there was more of mathematics question and coding questions that were supposed to answer online, which we did, and we submitted, and I got a call for the hackathon itself. Then after the hackathon, so about 30 of us were sent an invite to apply for the Microsoft LEAP job. The Microsoft LEAP apprenticeship. So the interview process was just four. Yes. The first one was the English test, the test of English. Then the second one was, of course, the technical test. So it was more of an objective kind of questions. We're asked more of Office 365 questions. So if you're applying for, let's say, Azure, you get the Azure questions. So mine was more of Microsoft 365 questions. Then the third one was about team. So they want to know how you collaborate well with your team members. So I, alongside some other people, were asked to give a scenario if we were being stuck in a boat or something like that, those kind of questions, yeah. So they just wanted to see how we are going to do when, how we're going to bond as a team. Then the last one was the number one-on-one interview with a team manager.
What do you think helped you stand out from other candidates and get accepted into the program?
Well, I don't really know. I think mine is more of research. I did a lot of research. First of all, it's the first cohort in Nigeria, yeah? So we don't really have much to hold on to. So I had to do much of research about Microsoft, about Tech Expert, the hosting company. I had to do research on how the culture of the company itself, how they work, how they operate. And I think that's what made me stand out, really, because there was no previous course to look up to ask, oh, how did they do this in Nigeria? How did they do this in Nigeria? So I just had to do a little bit of research and check about the company's value and what they believe in, which is what I think made me where I am today.
Awesome. Thank you. That's a great advice as well. How many people were in the cohort, and like, tell me a little bit about the group and like, where other people are from, what are their backgrounds?
Oh, okay. About 10. So 10 ladies got accepted into the first cohort, which is my cohort. We have Amaka. Amaka is a lawyer. She studied law and she switched to tech. It's really an amazing journey. We have Enombong. She studied petroleum engineering. We have Ebunluwa. She also studied electrical engineering. We have Amara. She studied electronics engineering. We have Fatima. She studied chemistry. We have Tomi. She studied economics. We have Sheon. She studied mathematics. We have Patience. She studied, I think, business studies. I can't really remember. Then we have Nikki. She studied engineering also. Petrochemical engineering, I think. I'm not really sure. So so most of us, our backgrounds, we switch into tech. None of us had the tech background before getting to Microsoft Leap. We were all self-taught. Programmers as at that time.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that did you have to pick what product group do you apply to? Like you mentioned, if you wanted to go into Azure, that would ask you Azure questions, okay. Or if you did M365.
For our cohort, it depends on the hosting company. So the hosting company just wanted Microsoft 365. So yeah, 10 of us were placed into Microsoft 365 group for our cohort. But gotcha. during the Microsoft Leap program, we've been taught basically everything, the Azure part and also the Office 365 part during the classroom training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you talk more about just the program itself? What was it like for you? What have you learned? What did you take away from it?
Okay. The first 4 weeks, normal Microsoft Leap, it's classroom training, and we were taught a lot of things on Azure. We were taught the basis of cloud computing. We were basically prepared for the AZ-900, which is the fundamentals of Azure. We were our major focus was more on provisioning virtual machine, the old pass, infrastructure as a service. We are taught also Office 365, the basics. And at the end of the 4 weeks classroom training, we were asked to deploy a web application and deploy it to a virtual machine. So, and also the remaining 12 weeks was more with the host company, and we were being taught, now this is now depending on the path you choose, in Exchange Online. Some of my mates are in some other Office 365 product group. So during the remaining 12 weeks, we have been taught extensively. For me, I was in the Exchange Online team. So I was being trained on how to support Exchange Online products. And so it's basically for the technical support role anyway. So during the LEAP program, we have been taught how to do other stuff. And the interesting part about the LEAP program was after every class, we had this Kahoot quiz. That was my first time doing the Kahoot quiz. So I always look forward to it because at the time, the information was becoming overwhelming. Learning Azure, it was all new to me, and learning all this stuff in one day was quite overwhelming. So after the class, we had this Kahoot, which made things easier for you to digest what you've learned earlier. So the LEAP program really opened my eyes to other opportunities in tech aside coding. Previous me only know if I hear about tech people, the little thing I know is that, oh, they code programmers, they are programmers, this and that. So Microsoft Leap really opened my eyes into other opportunities that cloud engineering and other stuff that tech has to offer for people.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. What is Microsoft Office in? The program was in Lagos, right?
Yes. Oh, Microsoft Office in Lagos.
Yeah, it's cool. What is Microsoft Office in Lagos is like?
It's cool.
Yeah, can you describe it for people to kind of help visualize it?
Okay, it's in a place called Victoria Island in Lagos, which is one of the let me put it in Nigeria way, happening place in Lagos. So they have good food. The food is perfect. So whenever we visit the Microsoft office, that's from our own office. Whenever we go to Microsoft office for to meet our mentors during the Microsoft Leap program, they always add breakfast and lunch prepared for us. So if you are visiting anybody in Microsoft, you should come with an empty belly because you're going to eat to your fill. And everybody's just smiling in the office. I don't know why everybody is just smiling in the office. I don't think there's any day I've gone into Microsoft office and see anybody frowning their face. They're always so happy and they're so welcoming, and you get to take lots of pictures with the Microsoft banner and all. So yeah, Microsoft office in Nigeria, yeah, it's let me say, a little bit small compared to what we see in pictures in the US, but it's perfect for us that we are here. It's good for us. And as I said, also the food, nice. So yeah.
Yeah, I hope to visit one day, and it makes me so excited. Yeah, you definitely hyped me up for
I owe you office. Nigerian jollof rice whenever you come to Nigeria.
Oh, nice. Okay. So tell me a little bit about your journey after the LEAP program.
Oh, okay. So after the LEAP program, we took full-time employment with the hosting company, take a spot as a technical support engineer. So what I basically do every morning is just to come to work and help customers fix their issue. I'm basically a break and fix person. I try to see what's going on in the customer's environment, and I try to fix the issue that's going on regarding Exchange Online, as I said, because that was where I was trained. So that's my area of expertise in Exchange Online, and also Security and Compliance Center. So whatever is going on with regards to your security, your protection, protecting your whole tenants, your Microsoft accounts, I see to it that it's up and running. I see to it that your email are working. I see to it that you send and receive emails just fine. So that's basically what I do. With the host company. So I got a full-time job with a good salary, and so I'm really grateful for the Microsoft Leap program because this is like my official first job. And I told you after the service I started volunteering, so this is my official first job. So as someone who just graduated from university not long ago, I'm really grateful because I know so many people out there wish to have what I have, so I'm not letting go of it. So Microsoft Leap really helped me. Seriously, it really helped me. And I will encourage anybody who is still thinking about applying should apply once the opening is out for application.
Congratulations on getting your first full-time job in tech. So can you tell us about the interview process for that position? How did you prepare, and what advice do you have for others?
It's actually the same. So I didn't do any other interview again because obviously the company trained us during the Microsoft Leap program, so there was no need to do more interview again for us. So they just absorbed us as full staff, just changed our contracts from Microsoft Leap to a full staff of the company. So I didn't get to do any other interview again with the company. But my advice to anybody looking for a job out there would be, as I said earlier, what I used to do is when I wake up every morning, I go to people's pages, people who post ads in their pages. If you can subscribe to any of these job ads and they send you email, I have some of them. I think I still do have some of them. Some of these websites where they post job ads, if you can go there every morning and just, look for what you want. Never settle for less. Look for what you want and keep applying and be hopeful that you're going to finally get one. And also try to put your resume in a way that when they see your resume, they will be able to give you a chance to show them and for you to prove yourself on what you've got.
How do you do that when, for example, when you say about the resume?
Okay, so I didn't really have any training on writing my resume. So what I did was I went online. I saw so many beauty resume app online. Then I tried one of those. So they gave me an idea on what the resume should look like. And I started editing. And anytime I apply for a job, sometimes you apply for a job and you get instant feedback that they don't want you. I knew there was a software doing that. I knew it was not a human being that is that fast to reply me that fast. Then I knew something is wrong with my resume. So I decided to look for what's the problem. Why is the system rejecting my resume? And I did some other research and I started to make some more editing. So for anybody looking for a job out there, I'll tell you to look for one of these free resources online, you know, and try to build your resume using one of those free resources.
That's a great advice. I think for everyone to take away from that is that if you don't know something, just research and look up and read information and try to learn that. And that's how you build your skills, like building a resume or like helping yourself to stand out. That's, I think, what you did. And that's applicable to any process, really, not just resume. That's amazing. Can you talk about the tech industry in Nigeria in general, and just like what are the maybe like top companies or the job opportunities are like for people who are not familiar with the tech landscape in Nigeria, so everyone is like outside of Nigeria, but also for people who are listening in Nigeria to understand a little bit more about the tech landscape.
Okay, I'm only going to say that those ones I'm sure of. I'm going to start with Microsoft. So in no ascending or descending order, I'm just going to say it just the way it is. So there's Microsoft. Microsoft, yeah, in Nigeria, it's a great tech company. If you're looking forward to working with a tech company, there's Microsoft, there is Google, there is Andela. So Andela seeks talent, and they try to employ people for, they kind of like outsource people to work for their clients. That's programming and other type. There is Paystack, there is InterSwitch, there is Jumia. I don't know if you've heard of Jumia. There is Jumia.
No.
There is Flutterwave, and I think this company that takes their staffs to Dubai. I think Softcom. Yeah, it's a very nice company too. And there is Tech Expert. Yes, let me not forget my company. It's Tech Expert. So yes, Microsoft, Andela, Google, Paystack, InterSwitch, Jumia, Flutterwave, and Softcom. Yeah. So those are the ones I'm sure about. Mm-hmm. They are really nice tech companies here in Nigeria, big tech companies, and I'm sure there are other small tech companies and so many startup companies too here in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. What are these companies focused on?
For Flutterwave and Paystack, I think they deal more with payments, and InterSwitch also, they deal more with payments. So I think these tech companies deal more with providing a third-party solution to transfer money from your bank to another bank. So they're kind of like I don't know how to put it. So let's see. They're kind of trying to help banks. So they're kind of like a third-party application where you can just transfer your money. They help you transfer your money and all those stuff. For Tech Experts, where I work, the more of technical support, just like what I do. We try to, research, diagnose, and troubleshoot to resolve customer problems. Then normal Microsoft, then Google, then Andela. Andela more of kind of outsourcing for their client also. They kind of employ people to programmers to work for their clients, and they pay them also. So that's what I know about these top companies. I don't really work there, so I don't really know about their culture and how they work. But these are things I hear from people of social media, people working from them, and they have a lot of success story to back it up also. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about just general, kind of like describe Wi-Fi access to technology, to mobile phones, to computers in Nigeria? So,
To be honest, the network here is not really amazing. It's not really amazing, but it's not that terrible also. But it's not really amazing. Our network providers are kind of slow. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't want to say much more about it because I mean, I just be so angry. And I don't talk about how shitty the network is. So yeah, so.
what percent of the population would you say has access to information percent of the population has access to technology and information through access to Wi-Fi and mobile and laptops?
Oh, I would say 80%. I mean, for mobile phones, right? I would say 80%. We really use phones here in Nigeria. We use lots of phones in Nigeria. I think everybody uses phones in Nigeria. My grandma has a phone, so I think I would say 80 to 90% have access to all these things. It's only that they're just expensive. That's just it. So the only difference between someone who has money and someone who doesn't is someone who has money can afford to stay up every day using the internet and going through some sites that takes much of data, but a normal person who doesn't have money can just restrict herself to maybe a basic app like WhatsApp and some basic applications. So that's what I was just saying. Mm-hmm. But everybody mm-hmm. have access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with the COVID 19 situation, how has your work life has changed and the work of your company?
Well, as I spoke to you earlier, I told you we work from a remote location. So basically, it hasn't changed much. I still do what I do. The only difference is I haven't seen my family for quite a time. It's going to 2 months now. I've been isolated from like the world. So it's just basically like working from home, actually, except that we don't have this freedom to, you know, go out the way we used to go out. So because of the COVID-19, of course, you won't want to go out there to contract it and come and give some other people, you know what I'm saying? So what we do is just normal job we've been doing, except that we work from this remote location. So it's just you wake up, tell me. I've never worked from home before. It's my first time. So it's just like I wake up and I see my computer staring at me. I stare back at my computer and I decided to work. And the fascinating thing about this is that you have more time. You have more time. And if you are not careful, you are going to actually work more than you should work because it's right there. Especially if you are compared to when I was working from the office, if I have a problem which I was unable to solve, I just go home, think about it or not, and come back the next day and try to start looking for a solution. But working with my computer right beside me there, my work computer right beside me there, if I don't find the solution, I find it difficult to sleep because it's right there staring mm-hmm. at me. So mm-hmm. I was able to, at the first few weeks, I was not able to, you know, do the whole work-life balance. I was working more than I was living. So after some weeks, I was able to, you know, get that balance and, okay, this is my closing time. I have to stop. I don't have to work. I don't have to work anymore. So I really say kudos to people working from home. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. So, but I've been able to learn a few things from working this way. I'm able to tell myself to stop, to know when to stop, to know when to continue, to know when to do the extra mile, to do a little bit more research, and to be able to have my own time of my own self.
Mm-hmm. These are great observations. Tell me a little bit more about the remote location, because I think that's quite interesting what your company did.
Okay. As I said, it's nice. I don't get to cook. I don't get to lay my bed. I don't get to sweep. So I'm just lazing around, basically. So it's just, how do I put it? It's just like an hotel setting. You know, when you have people doing stuff for you, and the company is just trying to make us not to have any excuse not to deliver. Okay. So they just want us to be very comfortable while we work and while business continues. I mean, I'm so glad I still have my job during this period, because I know so many people that have lost their job due to COVID-19. So the company is really trying their best to make sure that we see to it that we work at the same time. We are also living our life. So the only thing, the only difference is that I don't get to physically see my family members. That's just shows the difference. It's really a nice place. We get to eat good stuff. I mean, I don't get to cook. I'm saying it again, I don't get to cook, because when it comes to cooking, I'm quite lazy. so you get people who are doing stuff. So it's just like, just trying to make us comfortable, basically. And you don't get to pay for data, so there's free Wi-Fi. You don't get to pay for so many stuff. So aside your take-home salary, you get other these other free stuff. So I'm going to say it's pretty much amazing, and it's a pretty much thing, good thing they did for us this period of COVID-19. So the remote location is cool.
To explain to anyone who's listening, what your company did, they kind of rented like a hotel, basically, right, for all the employees who voluntarily chose to be in that remote location to continue work from yes. home in the quarantine. Is that the right description? Yeah. So now that, you know, when the pandemic started, when the quarantine started, I think in the beginning of, let's say, March here, we all thought it's going to be maybe like 2 weeks or a month, right? And now it's been more than 2 months, and it's clear that things are not going back to normal for a long time. And what is the conversation in your company about how long this is going to last, and like what are the plans?
Well, they haven't said much anyway. They haven't said much. But we know that things are not going to be the same way they used to be. And for me personally, I think I'm getting myself prepared for whatever it is to come. But I believe the company has a plan for us, because they keep sending us email not to worry about our jobs, that for now, our jobs are still very much secure. So I don't know their future plans, but for now, I think we're still good to go for now.
Like, how long do you think you will stay in that hotel?
I have no idea. I honestly don't. But it's voluntary mm-hmm. anyway. For some people who want to go home, mm-hmm. you can go home. It's actually voluntary. So I plan to stay anywhere. I'm not rushing anywhere.
Okay, food is good. how much time did you used to spend on your commute time to work?
Okay, the traffic is terrible here in Lagos, Nigeria. So normally, without the traffic, it should be, let's say, 30 minutes. But because of the traffic, sometimes I spend about 1 hour, 30 minutes going to work. Coming back, I may spend close to 2 to 3 hours. That's that's during the closing time when everybody's closing. So the traffic mm-hmm. In Lagos, Nigeria is terrible because Lagos is the state where it's like New York City, as we see from the movies. So it's where everybody is trying to get into. It's where there are jobs, where there are so many things, where there's ports, both airports, seaports, any ports you can think of. So it's like mm-hmm. where many people make their business transactions. Lagos, you get everything in Lagos. So the traffic here is very terrible. because so many people, and every day people are still moving into Lagos to look for job opportunities, to look for business and anything you can think of. So the traffic here is terrible. So that's basically it.
That's why you like the work from home life.
Exactly.
So I know you just talked about the work life balance during the quarantine. So what do you do in your free time now?
I watch movies. I watch movies a lot. What again do I do in my free time? Sometimes I'm trying to take a certification, so sometimes I try my best to, you know, sit down and read. But most times I'm watching a movie. Most time I'm watching a movie. If I'm not watching a movie, I'm on Twitter, social media. So that's what I do in my free time.
I see. We talked a little bit about traveling last time. So have you traveled around?
Okay, so I have never left Nigeria. I haven't traveled out of Nigeria, but I've traveled within, we have about 36 states in Nigeria, and I think I've visited close to 10 states already. But I haven't left Nigeria. I hope to leave Nigeria soon, just to travel and see how other countries are like. I'll start with, I plan to start with a West African country also, a country in my region, probably Ghana. Yeah, probably Ghana. Mm-hmm. So, well, I look forward to the future and see what it holds for me.
Absolutely. What are your career goals?
Well, for my career goals, as you know, I said with coding, I'm doing technical support. So I'm sure people will be wondering, can she just choose one path already? For the meantime, what I would like just to be is just to be an expert in this, in learning this cloud stuff. So as I told you, I am good in Exchange Online because that was what I was trained in. But I'm trying my best to also learn other Microsoft technologies and to be able to be an expert in them, at least to reach a leadership position, if possible a managerial position, because when you're a manager and you understand, you can understand from the engineer's point of view because you've also been an engineer before. So I look forward to being a manager soon.
Absolutely. I am so confident that you will accomplish that. So thank you so much for sharing. I learned so much about your journey, about Nigeria, about the tech landscape in Lagos, and I hope to visit one day. If people want to reach out to you to ask questions, could they, and how would they do that?
Okay, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is Sarah Anueyago. I hope they get that. And you can also reach me on Twitter. I'm very, very active on Twitter at Sarah_N for Netherlands, M for Mother, A for America, C for China, H for Hippopotamus, and I for Ice Cream. So that's at Sarah_Machi. I hope they get that.
I'll put all the Twitter handles that we mentioned in the episode to the notes to the episode. All right, so people will be able to find that. So again, thank you so much for volunteering to answer people's questions. Again, you're a hustler. You're so inspiring. Thank you so much for your
time. Thank you, Ina, for having me. Thank you for having me too.
And I have the wrapping round of the rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
Pounded yam and egusi soup.
Okay, sure I know the egusi soup. What was the other thing?
Pounded yam and egusi soup.
I don't know if I had it. I had egusi soup before.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had it first time in Moscow, Russia, where I'm from, because I used to have Nigerian friends there. So I had a homemade igusi soup. But I think I used to live in New York as well. And New York is, I call New York New Babel because think of a country in the world and there are people from that place in New York. Like every place in the world, there are people from every place in the world are in New York. So it's extremely diverse. It's like melting pot of cultures and people and languages. It's very fascinating. It's the only place in the world that is like that. And there are quite a number of African restaurants in New York of different countries. So if you're in New York, you can go try like Ghanaian food or Nigerian food, Ethiopian food. What else? I think sometimes there are festivals and you have like lots of different food stalls, you know, so you have an opportunity to try out like many different things at once. So I definitely had it in New York as well. And I think that's about probably last time I had it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's cool. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like the spice. It's probably not as good as in Nigeria, but but I like it.
Yeah, the feel of what it's like.
All right. So next question, again, very random, is how many keys do you have on your key ring?
Just two.
Two. Okay. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Where would I go and why? Okay. I've been hearing a lot about Germany. I think I'll choose Germany. Mm-hmm. Probably because some of my family members are there. And mm-hmm. I don't really know. I've not really been to any place, but I think I would like to start with Germany. I'd like to start with Hamburg, probably because I have some family members and friends there with too many places. Very nice. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
all right. And the last question,
okay,
is if a movie was made of your life, what genre would it be, and who would play you?
Comedy. who would play me? There's a Nigerian actress. She's called Funke Akindele. We should watch one of her series. She's very funny, actually. I think she would play me. Just watch Diary of Jennifer. Just watch one episode of the Diary of Jennifer. You understand what I'm talking about?
Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah, again, for your amazing energy. I really enjoyed talking to you and learning more about your journey, all your advice, and about Nigeria.
Thank you, Aina, for having me. I'm excited to also be part of your Spotify podcast.